in Bluffdale.
Thank you for tuning in to the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible on KEQX 89.7. The views, opinions, contents, or beliefs expressed on the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible are the sole production of the Harrison Clark Expedition and its agents. The views, opinions, or beliefs expressed on this show may not be the same of KEQX or any of its agents. This show is brought to you by the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas, the Windmill Church of Christ in Weatherford, Texas, and the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas.
Friends, we want to welcome you to the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible this evening. My name is Kerry Clark, and of course I have with me this evening Brother David Harris, and we certainly want to say how much we appreciate you tuning in to our program this evening. I do want to encourage you, if you have the opportunity, to go ahead and I know that some of you may be driving or busy, but if you have the opportunity, grab your Bible. We're going to be going through and looking at the Bible in 2 Peter chapter 1, and we'll begin our reading in verse number 1 in just a moment. That's 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse number 1, and we're actually going to talk about the Christian graces that Peter lists in this chapter. But before we do that, there are some words of introduction that Peter talks about, that as David and I looked at the lesson this afternoon, we decided, hey, those verses need to be brought into this. So we're going to begin in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 1 in just a moment. We do want to remind you that this is a live call-in talk show, and we certainly encourage your participation. And if you would like to give us a call, the number to call is 254-445-2473. That's 254-445-2473. You can also send us an email at keqx@rocketmail.com. Friends, we want to say how much we appreciate all the comments and questions that we received as we just finished up a series on the Holy Spirit, and we looked at all the different aspects of the Holy Spirit, and hopefully you benefited greatly from that series of shows. And this evening we're going to, as we said just a moment ago, talk about the Christian graces. And Peter's going to tell us that we need to add these things to our lives. And if we add these things to our lives, we can be the kind of Christian that God wants us to be. But if we fail to add these to our lives, then Peter says we cannot live the Christian life. David, why don't you go ahead and read 2 Peter chapter 1 and begin in verse number 1 and make some comments about the verses that we're reading.
Okay, but Kerry, before we start, we've both got a great friend, Terry Jackson.
Yes.
And Terry Jackson is just, he's been one of our co-hosts on this show on several different occasions. Most of you people have heard him on the radio here. He has had open heart surgery, a quadruple bypass, and then he had some complications following that, and he had another surgery 2 days ago, and surgery on his intestines now, and now he's got bacteria in his blood, and he's not doing well. And we would like to keep everybody abreast of what's going on with Terry and ask for your prayers on his behalf. Terry's a good man, and we love him dearly, and we want everyone to know that he's in need of a lot of help right now. So now, if you have your Bibles, please turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. And one of the great things about the first 11 verses here, which is going to be the text of our show, we find the word knowledge, Kerry, 8 different times the word knowledge is used in just 11 short verses. So this is going to have an awful lot to do with knowledge, and the knowledge that he's talking about is the knowledge that we're going to accumulate from the Word of God. And so in verse 1, he says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God in our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Before we go any further, Kerry, those two verses right there, we pick up on a couple of things that we really need to point out. He says that he's a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, and he's writing them, and he tells us to whom this is addressed. To them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Right away, we find out where we get this like precious faith, and it is pointing right toward the unity that needs to be among brethren.
Well, you know, David, as you stop and you think about that, there is a movement, you might say, a doctrine that is being floated around, and people say, well, you have your faith and I have my faith, and even though they may be different faiths, they're still acceptable to God. That's what the world is telling us.
Mm-hmm.
But Peter tells us in these verses that for the child of God, that simply is not true. We all share the like precious faith.
And that like precious faith can only come through the Word of God.
And that's exactly right. And the unity that God wants us to have can only come as we study the Word of God, apply those principles that are taught therein to our lives and live the way that God wants us to live. That's the only way we can have unity, David.
Right. And you know, a lot of times, Kerry, you hear people, and mankind has adulterated the Word of God. There's
Amen.
No doubt about that. They use this word faith in a very complacent manner. You know, we've got this faith, that faith, all of these faith, all these many faiths. Friends, according to the Word of God, there's only one faith.
That's right.
And this is the like precious faith that comes through the Word, through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so when we look at this, we've got to understand that he's speaking to us here about this like precious faith. And then in verse 2 he says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Not only are we going to have the like precious faith, but we're going to have peace, and we're going to have grace, which is something that everybody must have.
That's
peace,
right.
And grace going to come through this same knowledge, going to come through the same righteousness of God, because that's what the knowledge is.
Yes.
It's the righteousness of God revealed.
And David, you know, we understand, and hopefully our listeners understand, that the Bible clearly tells us that we are saved by grace through faith.
Mm-hmm.
And so when Paul starts talking about grace, he's talking about that grace that Paul would describe when he was writing to Titus, that has been sent to every person. And maybe it'd be good for us just to flip over and read that together in Titus chapter 2. He says in verse number 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Now, David, how many men has it appeared to?
Every man.
Every man. So this thought that God has withheld his grace from some and given his grace to others, that's not what the Bible teaches?
No.
No,
not at all.
Not even close,
not
is it?
Not at all.
So
not
he says, for the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared to all men. Now watch this, David, and this gets back to the knowledge that
mm-hmm.
you were talking. Listen to this. Teaching us. God's grace teaches
it
us.
It teaches. It does.
It teaches.
The righteousness of God, the knowledge of God, the grace of God, it all teaches.
And notice what it teaches us. That denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope in the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Friends, the Bible is clear that if we are a child of God, we are saved by grace, and that grace comes from God,
mm-hmm.
given to us, but it demands a response.
Absolutely.
And that grace teaches us, and in order for us to be taught, we've got to do the will of God. And so Peter is telling us, folks, you got to get in there, roll up your sleeves, and get to work.
Absolutely. And Peter's going to tell us that
in just
a moment,
right.
When he says give diligence. He's going to tell us this. And so in verse number 3 now, according as his divine power, he has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue.
Mm.
Now, there is a mouthful right there, because if what Peter says is true, and it is, because
Amen.
God cannot lie, everything that we ever wanted to know about life, everything that we ever wanted to know about godliness
mm-hmm.
is revealed in these words here, mm-hmm. in the knowledge of God, in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, everything. that you ever wanted to know about life and godliness. And so there's nothing outside of here that we need to know outside of about life and godliness. So these individuals, and it kind of gets back to what we were talking about the last month over this Holy Spirit nudging you and showing you and talking to you. If he's given us everything that pertains unto life and godliness, what in the world is he telling us that we don't already know revealed in the Word?
Well, you know, David, a lot of people want to say, well, you know, the Holy Spirit directed me to find my mate. You know, he nudged me toward this one particular woman. David, God doesn't nudge us in directions like that. He gives us in the Bible what we should look for. And we talked about this when we were on the Holy Spirit. He gives us in the Bible what we should look for in a mate. And David, it doesn't have anything to do with, according to the world, how good looking they are, you know, or whatever. It's whether they are a godly, spiritual minded person. And God tells us who to look for. So he doesn't need to nudge us. He's given us, here's what you look for in a mate. And then you go to the Bible, you read that, then you look for a person that fits that bill. So why would the Holy Spirit need to nudge us in that direction?
Wouldn't need to at all. And those characteristics that you're talking about that is revealed about a mate is in Ephesians chapter 5. And it's interesting that when we get to these Christian graces, you're going to find them all enveloped in the Christian graces.
That's
every
right.
one of the characteristics that he's talking about there in Ephesians chapter 5. And so these three verses, the first three verses of this introduction here are extremely important, and we would encourage you to take your Bible and read over these things again, because these are very, very important for everyday living. But verse number 4 is not something that we want to overlook either.
No, sir.
Because he says there, whereby means that it's coming from something.
That's right.
We're talking about the knowledge and the righteousness of God, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And getting right back to that mate that you were talking about. Partakers of the divine nature. That is the kind of mate that will last for eternity.
That's right. And you know, David, when you start thinking about this, and there is a lot, and we've already gone over this when we were talking about the Holy Spirit, but there's a Holy Spirit. There's a lot of confusion out there about what it means to be a spiritual person.
Mm-hmm.
And if we are partakers of the divine nature, then that means we are a spiritual person, does it not?
Absolutely. When we're talking about the divine nature, it has nothing to do with your physical attributes.
Absolutely doesn't.
Even if this gal that somebody might be looking at, just one of those knocked down, drag out, gorgeous women, all of that's going to fall away. That's not even going to be in the picture here 20, 30 years ago. As a matter of fact, when I counsel young men and young ladies, I said, before I tell them, you know, we need to get this deal done, I want them to look at one another and just tell me what they think they're going to look like 40 years from now.
and they don't even like to think about that.
You know, what's his teeth going to look like? How's his hair? How much bigger do you think he's going to be 40 years from now than he is right now?
Yeah.
And then turn it right back around and ask about the girl, because those physical attributes are fleeting.
That's right.
But these spiritual attributes will last forever.
That's right.
Ever.
So he says we can be partakers of the divine nature, and then watch this, Dave, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Friends, we have stressed over and over again in our program, you don't have to live like the rest of the world.
No.
You don't have to allow the corruption that is in the world to corrupt you. You know, David, we often talk about politicians, and we talk about, well, you know, they were a pretty good person till they got up to Washington, D.C. or whatever, and they were corrupted by all the influence that is up there. David, if they allow that to corrupt them, they could have been corrupted back here at home.
Sure, they could have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you don't just, you don't change natures by going into Washington, D.C. And so we can, friends, you don't, you, just like the politician, when he gets to Washington, D.C., doesn't have to give in to corruption. We, as children of God, living in a world that is corrupt, we don't have to give in to that. And if we get, if we are partakers of God's divine nature, we're going to do our best to live above sin and not get down there and wallow in the mire. And we'll talk about that later on in our program. Well, we don't have to wallow in the mire like a pig. We can get up and clean ourselves off and do what God wants us to do.
And be the spiritual person that we need to do. Now, we haven't even got to the Christian graces
yet. No, we haven't got there yet.
Haven't even got to the Christian graces yet. But that is a tremendous introduction that is given to us by the Holy Spirit through the pen of Peter. Now, before Peter begins listing the graces, he writes there, he says, "And besides all this, giving all diligence, add unto your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge." Now here are the Christian graces. "And to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacks these things, he's blind, he cannot see afar off, and he has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and your election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Now, Kerry, it begins here by saying, "Give all diligence." And it ends by saying, "Give all diligence to make your calling and your election sure." Now, these are warnings. They are exhortations to the Christians who would seriously, that should seriously consider every one of these things. Now, I guess the big question we need to deal with now is, what is diligence?
Well, you know, when you look at this word, it means someone who has been dispatched to do something. And so you've got somebody that has been given a responsibility, and they are diligent in doing their responsibility, carrying that responsibility out so that they are doing what God wants us to do. Friends, diligence is something that we all need in our lives. David, you might want to add something to that, but to be diligent is to work toward a goal, and be so focused on that goal that you're not going to allow distractions to take you away from that goal.
Right. And so when we talk about the Christian graces, these Christian graces, this is a man-made terminology for this bunch for this bunch of Christian characteristics that are isolated right here in 2 Peter chapter 1. So man has given them that term. Those are not, that's not the term that you're going to find in the Bible. But man is given those, and it's a very good expression, the Christian graces or the Christian characteristics. You could call it either one. But because we need to be diligent, we don't need to just lump all of these Christian graces in one bucket there. We need to separate these things out, and we're going to do that as we go through these lessons, because we need to give full attention at the diligence that demands each and every one of these characteristics. They demand our diligence. And so we can't just say, "Well, I'm going to do this. We're going to have to give diligence to these things. So you can't just go out there and get you a dose of these graces and cause it good and say, "Well, okay, I got it now. I got it."
Well, and you know, David, when you start thinking about grace and graces, as we're using them, the Christian graces, you know, when you see somebody and you say, "Well, you know, she is very graceful, full of grace in the way that she holds herself and the demeanor that she gives to other people," that's what we're talking about. We're talking about this, not the physical outward beauty, but we're talking about the inward beauty of a person that is graceful in living their life. And I believe that's where this terminology, the Christian graces, come from. If it is that beautiful outlook, that demeanor that we have as we live our lives, And that's what we're talking about, graceful.
Right.
These Christian graces that we're talking about.
And this is something that you cannot pick up from afar off.
No.
When you start knowing someone, that's when you see the picture. It's not like looking at a picture and say, oh boy, isn't she gorgeous. Because we're not talking about physical attributes here at all.
Not at all.
Not at all. We're talking about spiritual attributes, and these attributes cannot be purchased.
No.
You can't go and inherit these things. You can't inherit them from anybody.
No.
You must develop these graces, these Christian graces, these Christian characteristics that we're going to talk about here. You've got to develop those individually. Each one of us are going to be responsible for each one of these graces that are listed here individually and personally. They're going to be part of our makeup.
And Peter tells us it takes a diligent effort to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Friends, we're up against a break right now, and we certainly appreciate you tuning into our program. And if you want to join in our discussion after we come back from the break, the number to call is 254-445-2473. That's 445-2473, or send us an email at keqx@rocketmail.com.
I come to the garden alone.
The prophet Isaiah said, "The people walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined." Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2. Years later, centuries later, when the apostles began to preach concerning Christ's church, this same area saw many people become Christians, and we read that in Acts chapter 8. Indeed, the light of Christ's redemption shone brightly. The light of Christ makes a difference in your life. The darkness of sin, you can find the light of His forgiveness. In the darkness of ignorance, His wisdom illumines the way. In the darkness of trials and trouble, His presence dispels the blackness. Whatever darkness threatens to overshadow your life, let Jesus be the light who drives it away. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieves shall be condemned." Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. You are invited to come worship with us at the Hillcrest Church of Christ, where the light of Christ is taught. Bible class begins at 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning, with worship following at 10:30. Correspondence courses are also offered. Call us at 254-968-8167. Let us worship the Lord together in spirit and in truth.
Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord.
The Pony Express was a colorful part of American history. It ran from St. Joseph, Missouri to Sacramento, California, about 1,900 miles. The trip was made in 10 days. 40 men, each riding 50 miles a day, sped along the trail on 500 of the best horses available. To conserve weight, clothing was light. Special lightweight saddles were used. The mail pouches were thin and light also. Letters were written on thin paper and postage was $10 an ounce. Yet each rider carried a full-size Bible, presented to him when he joined the Pony Express, and he carried it with him on every trip. Oh, how we need Bible-toting and Bible-quoting Christians today. The Park Heights Church of Christ is committed to spreading the gospel to Central Texas and beyond by speaking the truth in love. Friends, we would like to invite you to visit our services. We have Bible classes for all ages Sunday mornings at 9:30. Our morning worship services begin at 10:25. Our evening services begin at 6 p.m. on Sunday. And we also have midweek Bible studies on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. If you would like to contact us, please call 254-386-3953. We meet at 1300 East Boynton Street in Hamilton, and our mailing address is P.O. Box 107, Hamilton, Texas, 76531. You may also visit us on the web, www.parkheightscoc.com. We look forward to seeing you soon.
Welcome back to the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible. I'm David Harris, and I'm here with my brother Kerry Clark, and we are here talking about the Christian graces and the certainty of your calling, and we're going to get into all of this. I'd like to remind you that this is a live call-in talk, a radio show, and the number to call is 254-445-2473, or you can email us at keqx@rocketmail.com. We have been talking about the Christian graces and the introduction to the Christian graces that are found there in 2 Peter chapter 1. And we talked about the diligence that we're going to have to acquire these qualities. We talked in that last segment that these Christian graces are something that you cannot purchase, nor can you inherit these things. We must individually and personally mold our lives around these qualities. And Kerry, this is going to cost us a lifetime of effort and persistent application. That's what diligence is all about.
That's it. That's really what it's all about. And you know, it's very true that these things that we're talking about take truly a lifetime to develop and to refine in our life so that we're truly partakers of the divine nature, as Peter said earlier in verse number 4, that we want to be partakers of that divine nature, have the very nature, the outlook, the disposition of God. And that's what we're working for in our life, David.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really a pattern of life, isn't it?
Yes, it is a pattern of life. And as we are talking about the pattern, I think one of the great problems in our society today is that young men and young women, young ladies, young men do not have a pattern for their life. They don't have a focus on anything out there. There's no goal in their life. Just the other day, I was asking a young man who was going to graduate from high school. Now, this particular young man kind of had his head on straight. But it kind of reminded me of something that I read one time where this father asked his son, he said, what are you going to do after graduation? And he said, well, I guess I'll go to college. And he says, and then what? And he said, well, I guess I'll get a job. And then what? I guess I'll get married and have a family. And he never did it really know. He just kind of putting things together as he goes, you see here. And he says, and then what you going to do? Well, we might just travel around and after we get through working, we retire and travel around. And then what you going to do? And he says, well, he says, I guess I'll retire and then what? He says, well, and then I'm going to die. And he says, and then what?
Yeah, that's right.
Friends, if we don't have a pattern, if we don't have a goal, if we don't have an aim here, we're going to be caught short of the goal.
Well, David, and how often do we see that in the lives of people that they truly have not set a goal, and that goal being heaven, being partakers of the divine nature, as he said, so that we can enter into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Talking about heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got to have our goal set, and we're going to have to work for it. You know, we very diligently in America teach our children. We send them to school. We make sure they do their homework. We make sure, you know, that everything's done on time, and we want to see their report card to make sure that their grades are where we want their grades to be so that eventually they can enter into college. And again, we watch their grades. We want to make sure that they're doing well and so forth. But David, in the spiritual realm, how many times have you seen parents working that diligently in the spiritual realm?
Not very often.
It's rare.
And we're not trying to make light of the physical things. And we've got to eat. We've got to have a job.
Yeah.
We've got to work. We all want the best for our children. But let's not overlook the big picture here, because when all of this is over, when all of those beautiful young girls lose all their good looks, and when you've spent all your money and you're done, you're going to die.
That's right.
And you better have a plan and a pattern for life.
Well, and the Bible tells us in Hebrews 9 and verse 27, it's appointed unto men once to die, but after that, the judgment.
Mm-hmm.
We're all going to die. So why, you know, David, look at it like this. We even make preparation for physical death. We sometimes purchase funeral policies.
Absolutely.
So that we don't burden our family when we die with the expenses of a funeral. But do we make the same kind of diligent preparation for the spiritual things that are going to last for all eternity?
No, and the answer to that is absolutely not. And I'll give you an illustration. I used this a couple of weeks ago in a sermon. We buy what we call life insurance. and it's a misnomer. It is a misnomer. And the joke's on whoever buys it, because you don't get to keep it.
Yeah.
You buy life insurance, you pay on it all your life, and you die and you give it to somebody else because they're the beneficiaries. That's not life insurance, that's death insurance.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with death insurance, but let's just call it what it is.
Yeah.
You want life insurance, you got to go to the spiritual portion.
Amen.
Because you don't die spiritually when this body of clay goes back to the earth. And that's where we need our spiritual life insurance. And what Peter's telling us right here, if you'll stick to this pattern of life, I'm going to give you a policy here that will guarantee with a promise from God that you're going to get it.
Folks, if you want to join in on this discussion, I think it's a great discussion, and maybe there's something you see that we're not bringing out in this discussion. So join us, and the number to call is 254-445-2473. That's 445-2473. We also have access to the internet. If you want to send us an email at keqx@rocketmail.com. But friends, join in the discussion before, believe it or not, this hour is halfway over.
Mm-hmm.
So we're halfway through the hour. So y'all join in on our discussion. Now, David, he says, giving all diligence, and we've already said that's persistence, in application. But notice this, he says, add. We've got to add. David, I looked at the Greek word again today because I've looked at it in the past, and that word is literally to heap on top of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you go in and you want to get some ice cream, you know, and you tell them you want to add some strawberries or something on the top of it, and they throw one or two strawberries on there, you shake your head and you say, wait a minute. That ain't enough. You need to heap it on. Keep piling those strawberries on top of it. And really, that's what he's saying that we need to do. It's not just simply, well, I'll add a little bit. I'll add just, you know, a little bit of virtue to my life. I don't want to put too much on there,
mm-hmm.
because people might think I'm a goody two shoes or something, you know.
Right.
No, he says you heap these things on top.
Right.
Of something. And that something is faith.
Right.
Peter's already introduced us to that. It is the like precious faith. The like precious faith is God's plan, God's scheme of redemption.
Mm-hmm.
It is the gospel. And then there is our personal faith, our personal belief in what God has said. Where do we find what faith is, David? How do we find out what it is?
Well, the best place to go to find out what faith is to go right straight to the Bible. And Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1 will give us a description of what faith is. And it's more of a description than it is a definition. And as we've said on many different occasions, the Bible is a whole lot better at giving us descriptions than it is definition. Now, occasionally you'll find a definition, and some could argue that this is a definition here. But I know it's a description. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. Now, you have a different translation there, I believe, in your hand, and maybe you'd like to read that. It's going to say the same thing in a few different words.
Well, it says that faith is the foundation of what we hope for. And I like that, introducing the idea of a foundation. David, when you're going to build a house, what is the most important piece on that house?
It's got to be the foundation.
It's got to be the foundation. You can build a $10 million house on a rotten foundation, and what's going to happen?
It will crumble.
It will crumble. Friends, if we do not have a solid foundation in our life,
mm-hmm.
then everything we do will crumble. You know, David, we didn't talk about this afternoon, but it just popped into my mind, Matthew chapter 7. And I've got to turn over there and read that. It says Jesus is giving us the great Sermon on the Mount. He's just about to conclude that sermon. And he says in Matthew 7, beginning in verse number 24, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them." David, how many times have we talked about on this program? It's not enough to hear it.
Right.
You got to do it.
Got to do it.
"And doeth them," Jesus said, "I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock." There's that foundation.
Right.
Foundation upon a rock. Verse 26. "And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not is likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." I believe it's in Luke's account of this. He says in building that foundation, he digged down deep.
Dig down deep. Those are the words that the King James Version says. He dug a big hole before he ever got started and put it down in there where it would be anchored.
That's right.
An absolute anchor. Now, it's interesting. Now, we're going to start with faith. This is the first one of the Christian graces. But if we will jump forward just a little bit and notice verse number 8, for it says, "For if these things," and the particular thing that we're talking about right now is faith. So it says, "If these things be in you and abound, they shall make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Now, barren and unfruitful are evil terms, actually. You got a fruit tree that won't make fruit, it's a worthless piece of nothing. It won't make good shade.
No.
It's just kind of a worthless fruit tree. If you've got a cow that won't produce, or you got sheep out there that won't have ewe lambs and calves to produce, they're just eating. They're not doing you good at all. So they're barren, they're unfruitful. Now, what he's saying here, "If these things be in you and abound, that shall make you that you shall not be that way in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." And so, and if we have faith, now that's what we're going to start with. We are going to be fruitful, and we are going to be producers of what God wants us to be. And Peter further describes the Christian who does not make these characteristics a part of his life. In verse 9, he says, "He's that lacks these things, he's blind, he cannot see afar off, he's forgotten that he was purged from his old sin." Getting back to that pattern that we were talking about just a moment ago.
That's right.
The pattern of life for a young person, the pattern of life for an individual who has just found what the faith of the Bible is all about. It will give him a long-term telescopic view of what is out there in the future, if he will just add this Christian grace at the beginning, not the end, the beginning to his life.
And David, he said, if you don't have these things, you're blind.
Blind.
And he's talking about, obviously, not physical blindness, but spiritual blindness. And David, I believe it's Paul, talks about it in 2 Corinthians, that the God of this world blinds people.
Mm-hmm.
Satan will blind you to the truth. You hear the Word of God preached, and if you're not careful, just as Jesus described in Matthew chapter 13 when he talked about the parable of the sower, the devil will come along, he'll snatch that word right out of your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And when he does that, that makes you blind. And he said, not only are you blind, you can't see afar off, and you've forgotten that you were purged from his old sins. Now, David, I've got to ask a question here. If the way he's describing this, it is a Christian who is not adding these things to their lives, and he said, you're blind, you can't see afar off, you've forgotten that you were purged from your old sins, is he saying it's possible for a Christian to so live in such a way as to be lost?
Absolutely. Absolutely, that's what he's saying. And I'll go even a step further, and I can prove it with another passage of Scripture. The Christian who does not have a knowledge of the Word of God will be swept away by this world.
That's right.
The Christian, not the person of the world, but the Christian will.
That's right.
If he doesn't have a knowledge of the Word of God, he is going to be taken in by the world. And that's what we're talking about here in Second Corinthians chapter 4. You mentioned it just a moment ago. It says in verse 4, "In whom the god of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." And so when we're talking about this faith, this individual that has this faith, when he puts his faith up and he's got this great foundation, now he's got a good start.
That's exactly
and that's
right.
All it is a start.
It's a start. Well, friends, talking about that, we're going to have to pause right now. We're off to a good start this evening, but it's almost over, so we're going to have to take a break. And we do encourage you to call at 254-445-2473. That's 445-2473. Or send us an email at keqx@rocketmail.com, and we'll see you on the other side of the break.
Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the
Pony Lord. Express was a colorful part of American history. It ran from St. Joseph, Missouri to Sacramento, California, about 1,900 miles. The trip was made in 10 days. 40 men, each riding 50 miles a day, sped along the trail on 500 of the best horses available. To conserve weight, clothing was light. Special lightweight saddles were used. The mail pouches were thin and light also. Letters were written on thin paper and postage was $10 an ounce. Yet each rider carried a full-size Bible. It was presented to him when he joined the Pony Express, and he carried it with him on every trip. Oh, how we need Bible-toting and Bible-quoting Christians today. The Park Heights Church of Christ is committed to spreading the gospel to Central Texas and beyond by speaking the truth in love. Friends, we would like to invite you to visit our service. We have Bible classes for all ages Sunday mornings at 9:30. Our morning worship services begin at 10:25. Our evening services begin at 6 p.m. on Sunday. And we also have midweek Bible studies on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. If you would like to contact us, please call 254-386-3953. We meet at 1300 East Boynton Street in Hamilton. And our mailing address is P.O. Box 107, Hamilton, Texas, 76531. You may also visit us on the web, www.parkheightscoc.com. We look forward to seeing you soon.
I come to the garden alone.
The prophet Isaiah said, "The people walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death upon them, a light has shined." Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2. Years later, centuries later, when the apostles began to preach concerning Christ's church, this same area saw many people become Christians, and we read that in Acts chapter 8. Indeed, the light of Christ's redemption shone brightly. The light of Christ makes a difference in your life. The darkness of sin, you can find the light of His forgiveness. In the darkness of ignorance, His wisdom illumines the way. In the darkness of trials and trouble, His presence dispels the blackness. Whatever darkness threatens to overshadow your life, let Jesus be the light who drives it away. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me." He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieves shall be condemned. Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. You are invited to come worship with us at the Hillcrest Church of Christ, where the light of Christ is taught. Bible class begins at 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning, with worship following at 10:30. Correspondence courses are also offered. Call us at 254-968-8167. Let us worship the Lord together in spirit and in truth.
Friends, welcome back to the Harrison Clark Expedition through the Bible this evening. My name is Kerry Clark, and I have with me again, of course, Brother David Harris. And we're beginning a new study this week, and we're talking about the Christian graces that are recorded for us in 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning down in about verse number 5 and going through about verse number 7. And what he's going to do, he's going to give us 8 things that if we will add to our faith, then we can be the kind of children of God that God wants us to be. Now, we've already introduced the subject, so I'm not going to go back into a lot of detail, but we're talking about the fact that he tells us, beginning in verse number 8, if we'll put these things in our lives, we're not going to be barren and we're not going to be unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if we lack these things in our lives, he said we're blind, we can't see afar off, and we've forgotten that we were purged from our old sins. And then in verse number 10, he says, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. Now, David, the obvious implication of that is, if I don't do these things, I will fall. Is that right?
That word if makes it conditional.
Yes.
There is a condition attached to this falling or not falling, and the condition is doing.
Yes.
Doing these things.
Yes. And friends, if you were with us a moment ago, we talked about the fact that it is possible for someone who has obeyed the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, been baptized for the remission of their sins, mm-hmm. added to the Lord's church, that it's possible for them to fall away.
Right.
And that's found, friends, if you don't believe that, that's found in this very same book that we're
Absolutely.
In.
Absolutely. Right after he gets through telling us it's possible for you to fall, he's going to tell you how bad it's going to be when you do.
And he's going to tell us, friends, in 2 Peter chapter 2, that you better be on guard, because just like there were false prophets in the Old Testament, he said there are going to be false teachers among us today. Mm-hmm. And they're going to try to lead us astray. And he says in verse number 19, while they, that's the false teachers, while they promise liberty, he said, they themselves are the servants of corruption. Now, friends, if you remember a moment ago when we were looking at this in verse number 4 of chapter 1, Peter said we can escape the corruption of this world.
Right.
But now Peter says these false teachers, they are servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, the same he is brought into bondage. And he says in verse 20, 2 Peter 2 and verse 20, for if after they escape the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. David, is he not describing a child of God, a Christian?
Absolutely.
We've escaped the knowledge of...
With faith.
Yes.
That Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
Yes.
And the Savior of the world.
Yes. So he says, we have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now watch this, friend. 2 Peter 2 and verse 20. They are again entangled therein. David, what does it mean to be entangled in something?
Well, when it says again... that means that you were tangled in it once,
okay,
and you're going to get tangled up in it again when you have left that faith that it pulled you out of there.
And you know, David, when something gets tangled up, it's a wadded up mess.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is. Well, if you go fishing and you've got an open face reel and you throw it out there and you get what we used to call professional override. You know, you get that bird's nest. In there, it's all tangled up.
Yeah, I thought Abu Garcia was a cuss word for a long time. Every time I think about tangled, I think about Abu Garcia real. I can't. I apologize for Abu Garcia. I just can't operate one. That's all.
And so Peter's telling us we get all tangled up in the corruption of this world and overcome. Now David, it's not... This is not describing somebody who's living a Christian life and they momentarily fall.
No.
He's talking about you get all wrapped up in it and you're all tangled up in it and you're overcome. He says, now David, listen to this. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning.
Absolutely.
He is telling us, friends, you would have been better off never becoming a Christian than to become a Christian and then go back to it.
Right.
And then he says in verse 21, it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they've known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them, but it's happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that is washed to her wallowing in the mire.
You talk about an ugly description of falling.
Man.
A dog vomit. Now, there's very little uglier than you can imagine. You paint the picture of dog vomit in your head. But what really is fascinating about this, we know what God's Word has to say about this. And now we've got denominational people out there, religious folks, that claim that this is not true. That it is impossible for you to fall. And the Holy Spirit through Peter is telling us here, it's not impossible. It's highly likely if you depart from this way that I'm telling you here that is based upon the faith of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I understand we have a caller on the line. Caller, would you give us your first name and your comment or your question, please?
Well, this is Jason again.
Hey, Jason.
Not to get you off of what you're on this, but it goes along with it. I have always thought that this passage, too, flies in the face of those who say that faith only will save.
Amen.
Amen.
And it goes along with what you're saying, too, because those who teach that doctrine generally are the ones who say you can never fall.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I'm making a generalization there, but it pretty well goes hand in hand. But Peter tells us here, you have to have all of these things. You just can't just stop at one. you have to, that faith is the very first thing. And I remember getting in trouble several years ago, getting up to preach a sermon in a building marked the Church of Christ. I wrote on the board, faith saves. And, lady got upset. I didn't say faith only saves. That's the beginning.
Right.
And it's only the beginning. You have to add all of these things. This passage just flies in the face of that doctrine right there.
You're absolutely right. And one thing we're going to get into in just a moment, we'll see that you cannot be pleasing unto God without this one characteristic. Absolutely cannot be pleasing unto God. And we'll read the scripture that goes right along with that here in just a little bit. But Jason, you're absolutely right. This teaches... This passage, and together with many other passages, by the way, teaches that faith only will not save anybody.
And I appreciate you bringing that out, Jason, because I hadn't put the two together.
Well, see, sometimes I can come up with something pretty good. Anyway, appreciate it, guys.
Hey, thank you for calling, Jason. Appreciate your calls, always.
And by the way, if you want to join in, the number to call is 254-445-2473. That's 445-2473, or send us an email at keqx@rocketmail.com, and we appreciate
it. And one more thing, if you've got friends out there that can't reach the radio station, you can always direct them to get on the web at harrisonclark.org.
That's right.
And you can tune in on your computer, and we'd be glad to hear from you any way you want to do it.
We got somebody in Hawaii listening right now.
Well, hey, that's a great thing. In Hawaii, that's a wonderful thing. Well, great. Well, now, Carrie, you were talking about this once saved, always saved doctrine just a moment ago. Maybe both of us were talking about it. It is one of the most dangerous doctrines in the religious world as it's being taught today.
Mm-hmm.
It gives people a false sense of hope, a false sense of security. Now that I've got this done, I can't do anything, lose my salvation. And then, of course, there's all kinds of, well, he wasn't really converted. Well, who are you to say he wasn't really
That's
converted?
Right.
Yeah, these very same people say, well, don't you judge. Well, now who's judging?
Yeah.
By the way, John chapter 7, verse 24 tells us to make these judgments.
That's right.
Absolutely to make these judgments, and we're supposed to make them. We're supposed to be able to make judgments about our own faith, about our own salvation, and when other people want to know the answer to a question, we've got to know the answer and thereby make a judgment based upon the scriptures as to what we're telling these people to do. But friends, we want to warn you here now that anybody is teaching a doctrine out there that says once you're saved, you can't be lost. they're as wrong can be, and it's not me that's saying it. It's God that's saying it right here in 2 Peter, the entire chapter 2. And if you'll back it up, he says it again in chapter 1, that we've got to be diligent to make our calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. It is conditional. It's all conditional. And so this is one of the great lessons that we learn from the Christian graces is that, yes, God wants to save you. Yes, God wants to give you an eternal home in heaven with him. But, yes, you can lose your Christian salvation if you don't do these things.
David, how... And I don't know how to say this in a way, but how could God allow somebody who has become a Christian and then turn their back on him and actually spit in his face, as it were? How could God say, well, that doesn't count because, you know, the things you're doing right now don't count? You remember in Ezekiel chapter 18, he talks about if an unrighteous, wicked man turns from his wickedness and does what's right, then God says, I forget about all that wickedness that he did.
Right.
But he said in that very same chapter, if the righteous man turns from his righteousness and begins to do that which is wicked, God said, I'll forget all the righteousness that he did as well.
Well, a lot of people forget that God is a God of justice. We got 5 minutes left in the
whole
program. 5 minutes
in the whole program.
Mercy.
Chris ran the clock up.
He must have. This thing flew by so fast. We didn't even get started good. I'm glad we at least got faith introduced.
And we got a good foundation.
I believe we got a good foundation on the introduction of faith. But there's one thing before we go that I think is really, really important, and that is... Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6.
We've got to go there.
We have got to go there. And if you've got that, Kerry, and we would invite everyone to take their Bibles if you can and turn to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, because this is something about faith that you need to know. And it goes right along with what Jason was talking about just a moment ago, too. You can't please God. Nobody can please God without this faith.
Why don't you
read it to us there?
Well, it says in Hebrews 11 and verse number 6, but without faith... it is impossible to please him. Now, David, that's exactly what you're saying. You cannot please God without faith.
Mm-mm.
For he that cometh, listen to what he said. Here he's going to again giving, David introduced the thought. He's given us a description here. And by the way, the whole of Hebrews chapter 11 is giving us a description of godly people.
Right.
Faithful people. And by the way, what does the word faithful mean? Somebody that's full of faith.
Right.
So he says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that, here's that word, David, diligently seek him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we've already talked about diligence, and that's where we are persistent in our application. We are aggressive in this. And the writer of Hebrews, and by the way, I think it's Paul, but that's neither here nor there. He says, you cannot please God without faith. You can't do it. It's impossible.
Absolutely impossible. And you can beat on your chest and point up into there and holler, I'm a Christian, all you want to, but without this faith, you can't please God. And if you can't please God, nobody's going to heaven.
That's right. And this truly is mission impossible.
Mm-hmm.
It is impossible for you to please God if you don't have faith. So you must come to God believing that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Who's he going to reward?
The ones that diligently seek him.
Is that the one that is adding these things that
Absolutely.
Peter describes to his life?
Absolutely. Every bit of this goes hand in hand. It is a marvelously written, preserved book that God has given us to guide us right on straight into heaven.
Well, and you know, David, you bring up a very good point, because as we've said throughout, and we just finished this discussion of the Holy Spirit, and we clearly showed from the Bible that the words of the Bible are Holy Spirit-inspired
mm-hmm.
words. These are not, we often talk about Peter because God chose Peter as the one that he used to write these things down. But God is the author of these words.
Absolutely.
And so these words come from God, friends. And if you're not doing these things, you cannot be pleasing to God. Well, David, we've got just about a little under a minute left. So, I want to give a shout out to my family out in Hawaii that's listening, Matt and Lauren. We're glad that you're listening. We love you and we miss you and hope to get out there and see you in Hawaii before too long. But friends, we also would like for you to pray for our other son who's also in the Army. He's in Afghanistan right now, and we'd love for you to remember our son Casey in your prayers. And I want to say how much I love this program and I love our listeners, and God bless you as you study his divine word. And I'll give David the final say.
One more thing that I need to let everybody know is one of our elders at Hillcrest underwent a surgical procedure today to have a stent put in, and they ripped an artery some way. They had to take him to Fort Worth, and he's in ICU in Fort Worth. That's Bob Haggard. Please keep Bob Haggard in your thoughts and your prayers throughout the week. And I want to end up by saying, as always, God bless America.